I am so excited to announce that I have released the first official tarot diagnosis spread book. Tarot and Self-Discovery is a therapeutic tarot journey with over 200 spreads, including over 152 card prompts and over 50 robust tarot spreads. You can purchase a physical copy on Amazon or a digital copy at thetarotdiagnosis.com. You are listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. I'm your host, Shannon. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I also happen to have a love for tarot. Each episode, I invite you to reflect with me as I work to demystify the tarot and the human experience, all while exploring tarot's connection to mental and emotional health. While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy. So grab your cards and join me as I work to create a pathway to better understand ourselves and those around us. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I'm good. We have had quite a morning here.
My goodness. Haven't we? Wowie wow. That was a surprise.
Yeah, we were joking because all the technical difficulties that could have happened, I feel like happened this morning. But maybe it's just good energy. Maybe we have a lot of energy and it's going to be a good episode.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I was telling you when we were getting back online here, I have never had a power outage 2 minutes before doing a podcast and had to reboot everything, including the modem. And I have had issues with electronics and my own energy. I've blown a few computers, apparently. I worked in a place, literally, that the technician came in and he said, this is the second computer that has actually had little curls of smoke come out of it when you touched it. And he put an alligator clip, if you're familiar with grounding. He actually made me sit like on this rubber mat, said I had to wear rubber-soled shoes. And then he had, there was a downspout pipe where I was working close by. And he hooked up an alligator clip to me, to that pipe to ground.
Oh my God. This is hilarious.
The funniest thing is, there was no talk of metaphysical things. There was no talk of, wow, you're weird. He was just No, it was, well, I've heard that one. He was just very matter of fact and said, okay, you're one of those people who has a lot of electricity. We'll just get all the equipment out and ground everything. And I'm going,
we'll just get all the equipment.
We'll get the kit.
Hook her up.
Because, you know, I don't feel odd enough. Thank you.
Oh my God, what an experience.
Yeah, so there you go. So I wasn't entirely shocked, but it had, you know, it hadn't ever happened and it's been a while since that anything like that's occurred. But here we are now and I'm sure it's all good.
Right, I know. So if anything weird happens during the episode, it's Monica's energy.
Oh, Shannon steps aside.
Right, yeah.
Didn't we say it was out? Our energy before.
It is our energy. I like how you just called me out about that. I was telling you too, there's only one other person who, when I hop on Zoom with them, it's Mandy from Haint Blue Creative. If you're familiar with her, she's great. Go check out her work. But we have this running joke, Zoom will never work for us. And I normally never have, knock on wood, issues. But whenever her and I get together, it doesn't work. So it's too much energy, but I'm here for it. I feel like that means there's good stuff brewing. Something's going on. So
lots of energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited to have your energy on the podcast because we're going to nerd out about the judgment card today. And you have some cool projects coming up that I want to talk about. And you are the author and creator of many tarot and oracle decks. So I'm excited to be able to pick your brain. But I'm curious, like, let's just hop into talking about judgment now. What's your relationship even with this card? Let's start there.
Sure. I've been reading tarot for many, many decades, which we won't put a number to that exactly. But I started with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And I'm not a religious person. Mm-hmm. And as many of you know, that is, it's steeped in a lot of religious Christian imagery. And it just, I wasn't comfortable with it. You know, I couldn't relate to it.
Right.
And I found over the years, there were quite a few people who didn't. And what's interesting is it wasn't so much the image for a lot of younger people I know, and some people my age as well, who are of the pagan belief system, but also the word judgment. And understandably, that can really bring up feelings of discomfort, finality. Yeah. Nobody wants to be judged. It just has such a negative connotation. And even the Oxford Dictionary talks about judgment as objective and that it's confined. And I was uncomfortable with that. So I was looking for imagery that I thought would be not religious, but truly in the spiritual realm and more comfortable. So I changed the word in my Shadowland Tarot to discretion.
Yeah, I love that you used the word comfortable just now to describe how you wanted to portray the judgment card to people and then changing the word to discretion. I think that's important. You know, you bringing up the religious undertones. I know for me, especially when I first started using tarot, it felt really, that card felt really inaccessible to me. Like I didn't, like it didn't belong to me. I didn't belong to it because it had all of this meaning and this imagery related to this very specific religious story that I didn't subscribe to. So it's been a journey for me to even figure out what is my relationship to this card now. And I love when artists and authors take liberties to modify names and images. And even just hearing something like discretion sounds so much more empowering. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like it's my discretion or, you know, it's this person's discretion. There's a sense of autonomy then in that card where typically when you think of judgment, there might feel like a lack of autonomy because there's this image of resurrection and this kind of giving into something, not that it's, you can't give into something bigger than you, but there, you know, there's something that is larger than you, that you are just succumbing to. And maybe I'm just talking about my control issues now. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that so much. discretion feels more accessible. But yeah, I think it's important for artists like you to be able to transform these, you know, these cards, these decks in ways that people can feel like they can have a relationship to, because I think judgment in its traditional imagery is important, obviously, but it's also important to have images and words that more people can feel at home with.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I feel very much that, you know, judgment is objective and external to us. It is, in some ways, being forced upon us. Mm. And that's very uncomfortable for me. Yeah. Could be my control issues. Hi, Shannon. artist, I must be free.
Right.
And discretion, I feel, is subjective. It is subjective. Mm-hmm. And you're right. There is a sense of autonomy, and I will use my discretion. So it's more active and collaborative and puts you in that space rather, you know, of thinking things over and perhaps making well thought out decisions as opposed to someone passing judgment on you. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is there are a lot of tarot decks that play with that imagery because it can mean so many things and there is that flexibility in the system. I've seen judgment cards with images of judges, you know,
yeah, right,
banging the gavel. and that's fine because I think in those cases and in those decks, the meaning is to tell you that somebody is judging you or that a court case may be coming up. So for some, that may be more comfortable. But as you're saying, I think accessibility and allowing you more room for interpretation. That's just really important to me as an artist and someone who writes the guides.
Absolutely. You know, so I've been reflecting on this card for a little while now, trying to figure out what it means to me kind of beyond the traditional meaning. And I feel like your use of the word discretion is more in alignment with where my relationship's gone with this card. So lately I've been enjoying looking at it as the experience of an epiphany. So if you think about the trajectory of the major arcana, you know, judgments card 20, you know, we're getting towards the end and you've had all of these experiences thus far, you've hopefully gained quite a bit of insight, which means that you're at this point where you're having a realization or an awakening, which is the card, the name that you're using in your latest deck, which I love. I want you to talk about that as well. And so that also feels maybe a little safer than being judged or having judgment placed upon you. It's, oh, I've had this experience thus far in my life. And we're going to have tons of these experiences. I mean, you could look at the major arcana as maybe your whole life from beginning to end, or you can look at it as chapters of your life. And I feel like we go through the major arcana multiple times throughout our life based on what we're experiencing. So we're going to have lots of epiphanies. We're going to have lots of moments of awakening. And so I feel like looking at it through that lens makes the card almost a celebratory card, like, oh, what have I discovered? And now, what does that mean about me? What does that mean about my life, my relationships, how I show up in the world, how people experience me? What is this awakening that I have unlocked now?
Absolutely. And I think in the latest deck, it is called The Awakening Tarot. I thought about this one and I really did enjoy the meaning of discretion. But as you're saying, it does come towards the end. It is the 20th card and we have traveled quite a ways and we have learned a great deal. So my thinking there was to translate that image of resurrection into an awakening and into an awareness. The message of the card was, you have achieved an opening of your third eye and are now aware of how your internal and external environments interact. So there's this coming together, celebration of the journey. And yes, we make that journey several times, backwards, forwards, up and down, I think. Right. I'm not alone in that. And I just think, again, it's healthy to look at any concept from different angles and allow people that flexibility. I think it helps us learn the meanings of tarot cards too, because even though it may seem I've deviated a fair bit, I haven't really from the core concepts of what the judgment card had as keywords. Just recontextualized it and moved it away from perhaps, you know, a very traditional Gabriel blowing his horn, you know, awakening into something that's just very, very spiritual and I think neutral.
I feel like I have a million things to say, even just based off of what you just said. I feel so excited right now because you used the phrase or the two words internal and external. And I feel like there's so many different directions you could go with that, especially in terms of like epiphanies and awakening. So the first thing that I think of, and then you brought up the trumpet, is this experience of having this epiphany or this awakening, and then the trumpet being this representation of what is internal now becoming external. Because if you know, maybe you're not the angel, maybe you are, but I love this visualization of taking what has been inside of you that maybe you've been afraid to share, or maybe you didn't know existed within you. And now you've reached this point in the major arcana in your life journey where you are confident enough to allow that to exist outside of you. Mm-hmm. And that is the experience of the trumpet, like physically blowing into that and having it reverberate and be projected loudly and proudly without censoring yourself, because it's a very loud instrument. You know, you're not You're not hiding. You're not trying to be quiet. You are saying, this is my experiences. This is what I've learned, or this is who I've become. So I really love that idea of that internal versus external. And you might have had a different maybe interpretation of that, which I'm curious to hear about. But that when you said that, that's where my mind went.
No, I think that's a wonderful interpretation. And yes, I have thought about that before. Sometimes when I've offered readings to people, I ask them which of the characters in the cards they relate to. A little more commonly would be, I think, something like maybe the Five of Swords, where there's a victor and there are people who are not in the background. I say, are you the guy collecting all the swords, or are you those in the background who lost their swords? It's really interesting when you play around with the imagery and you look beyond maybe the standard interpretations, and you could see yourself as Gabriel mm-hmm. blowing the horn and being proud of what you've achieved, and that you are maybe awakening others mm-hmm. and you're sharing your knowledge. So yeah, I think that's an exciting way of looking at it, and that's what symbols are there for. I think they shouldn't be static. I think they're is a way to ensure that somebody looking at my cards is collaborating. I always have reflection questions in my guidebooks mm-hmm. for that reason. It's an open space for you to say what you're seeing and what you're experiencing with that card, apart from those kind of interpretations. So yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, Shannon.
Absolutely. And something else came to mind while you were talking too, because you said, you know, sharing that with other people. I do a lot of internal family systems work, IFS parts work. And so now looking at this traditional imagery and thinking about, you know, if we're putting ourselves as the angel and the trumpet, we could also be taking what's internal and sharing it with all of our parts, because our parts are now, like, we're looking down at all of our parts. So we could have also, if we look at the major arcana as an experience of parts work, we've reached this point where we are able to find our true core self. And maybe that's what the angel represents. We've reached this point in the major arcana where we are our true core selves. And then we are able to communicate with our parts in a way that we're not kind of enmeshed with our parts, or one part is taking over. So that imagery just came up. The thought is not fully formed, but interesting idea there as well. But I, you know, another thing too I was thinking about is, I think it was Paul Quinn from Tarot for Life talks about how the judgment card isn't necessarily just about judgment, like you and I have just been talking about, but it's also about lifting ourselves out of our own judgmental consciousness. So that also could go back to your internal versus external thought process as well. Because I think when a lot of us look at the judgment card, we think about, how are we being judged? How are we going to be judged? But what about us? In what ways are we judgmental? In what ways do we live in this judgmental consciousness? So I like that's something he brings up. Maybe we're being lifted out of that as well as we move into this sort of awakening.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the card interpretations too, for the upcoming deck, I've offered a reversed card reading as well as the shadow, because I've done a lot of shadow work. And part of the shadow of that card is to not get too caught up in competition and to look at the journey and not compare yourself to others. So not being judgmental towards yourself. Because that we often do that. We can be our worst enemies. And it's a very personal process, this entire journey. And we all have different journeys and different stages at which we're awakened. There's so many awakenings, and it depends on so many factors. So, you know, I've ended up saying none of us are truly awakened or asleep. So to try to keep yourself from being very final about judgments, not only towards others, but towards ourselves, basically.
It's a really good way to look at it. And I like that you said none of us are truly awakened or truly asleep. That's so important, because I think when we're on this journey, I get a lot of questions, especially in therapy. How do I know when I've, you know, become fully self-actualized or, you know, self-realized. And I always say, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think any of us ever fully get there.
Nope, it's a journey, people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we get the opportunity to live to even 99 or 100, there are still going to be things that we are working on. But that's the fun part.
Absolutely, it is. I think, and I mean, that's not an original concept, talking about the journey. And yet we forget about that because we live in a society of social media and videos in general. Mm. And it looks like people are just these instant, you can become an instant genius and whatever.
Right.
You can just sit down and knock off a drawing or a painting or, you know, you do 20 backflips because we start to fall for that. Maybe part of us wants to believe it because it's difficult. We don't really want to hear that gymnast spent like 12 years learning how to execute the perfect backflip.
Right.
We're very much into instant gratification. Mm. So I think we need these reminders that it is the journey and look beyond the surface for how easy or simple things appear and say, no, this is where I say again, don't compare yourself. You aren't seeing what's going on with those people and what they're producing, and just take a breather from it. If you find you're getting really stressed, you are on your own journey. It is just as vital and important, and enjoy every moment and every day. It's more about what you're saying. We're never going to quit learning, I hope.
Right.
Let's enjoy the path that we're on. And if we don't like it, we can change our path, but let's not focus so obsessively on end results and goals. That's something I used to teach at University for Art and Design, because I actually taught a course about drawing as process. And people always wanted to come in and do these absolutely lifelike photographic representations. And anything less than that, they'd become so frustrated. So we just spent the entire semester understanding process and why it's vital and how beautiful mark making is. It doesn't have to, and picking up a pencil and the sensation and the physicality. Mm. It doesn't have to be the end product. And that is really, it takes a lot to kind of pull ourselves out of that expectation, you know?
Oh my God. I mean, I feel that so much. One, because like I'm like that. I've done a lot of work around not just needing the outcome. I'll never forget. I was in therapy years ago, and my therapist just looked at me and was like, "Oh, you just want the outcome?" And I was like, "Oh my God, you're right." And so like you were teaching your students, I did a lot of work on making sure I was experiencing things not for an outcome or not even allowing there to be an outcome sometimes. And I think this speaks to, I just really love how you're talking about this right now. I think it speaks to a collective experience, which we see in the judgment card too. You know, there's this group of people. It's a collective, almost yearning for something, a collective yearning either for the outcome, for something to be good, for us to be good, or, you know, for there to be this, I don't know, kind of ethereal experience with whatever we're doing. And sometimes we don't get that. And sometimes we just need to focus on being content. And sometimes we need to focus on just experiencing the journey like you're talking about. And it's not about, it doesn't have to be, okay, how does this look? Or how is this going to be? Or where am I in relation to all these other people? You know, if you look at the judgment card, no one's looking at each other. They're all looking up. So I think there's a good lesson there. You know, what are we truly paying attention to in our life? And are we paying attention to something that is important? Are we paying attention to what we really value? Do we even know what we value? That's an important question to look at. And the things that you are paying attention to, are they aligned with those values? Are they aligned with your authenticity? There's something else that, as you were talking, I thought about the concept of vulnerability too, because you know, to be an artist like you, to be an art student, you also have to be so vulnerable. And often when we just want the outcome, we are avoiding vulnerability because the process is inherently vulnerable. And that can be really difficult to sit with and come to terms with.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find a lot of people don't want to appear incorrect or wrong or vulnerable in any way, or that they're struggling. And again, that plays into our ideas of being competitive. And certainly artwork and the fields that I've been in are highly competitive. But I think we can all fall into that. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we need to remind ourselves just to stay in the moment and stop. You know what I mean? We're in such a hurry. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath and look at our values, and are they aligning with our actions? Because often there's such a split between them. We all, to a certain extent, engage in masking to protect ourselves,
right,
and to make sure we don't get hurt. And nobody wants to be called out on being wrong. You know, it seems like such a damaging thing now. And I've never been that person, though. I've always just jumped to the front of the line going, you bet, I was wrong. And now I know. And I value the lesson. But there are people who value the learning journey more, I guess. And then others who just really, they just want that end result and to be perfect. And we place so much importance in general in society on perfection and, you know, how we look, body imagery, how we speak.
Right.
I don't know. I was a little surprised. I mean, there was quite an age gap between myself and my students. And I was surprised sometimes at what people thought were cringe moments that I actually just kind of shrugged and said, but why?
Right.
Like, that's not embarrassing. That's humanity. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'd die if that happened to me. And I'm going, really? Well, you know, I don't know how to break it to you, but when you get to this age, that soup stain on your shirt really isn't going to make or break you.
Right.
It's like, you know.
Right.
It's just, I think as we age and mature, we look at things differently. And to their credit, there are a lot of young people who are incredibly mature for their age and already were wise beyond their years. It's more to me because, and I've also met lots of people who are older who are not one whit wiser because they still act as though it's high school and they're defying the aging process too. That's a whole nother discussion. It's like they're fighting that one tooth and nail. And it's like, you know, we just need to be. And you're talking about it sparked some, you know, this whole thought process about when you said people want to know when they are their authentic selves. And that's that is such an onion with peeling layers there that just never ends, you know, because if we're experiencing new things every day and we're learning and we're growing, how can we ever hit that point where we say, okay, I'm here, I'm authentic. Mm. It's like, no, tomorrow you may experience a whole nother set of things that might lead you closer to not caring what others are thinking or saying and allowing those masks to fall away. And sometimes we need them. So it's just such a difficult process that I hope people understand that enjoying the journey and all that it brings, it is life. It is beautiful. Even in its bumpy moments, it should be celebrated.
Absolutely. I think what you're talking about in terms of authenticity is important because I think a lot of folks might think, oh yeah, how do I know when I'm being authentic? And then you bring up such a good point. We experience so many new things that we're constantly changing and evolving. Authenticity to me is the willingness to be open to those new experiences and open to change and open to evolving. So this idea, going back to the judgment card and the vulnerability that exists here and the people who are who are nude and with their arms out, that's authenticity. Yes, I am here to see what you have to offer me. I am open to lessons. I am open to learning. I am open to experiencing new things and seeing who I am or how I show up once I embody that or embrace that. And there was something else that came up when you were talking about the experience of, you know, like what some people would consider cringe and what some people wouldn't. And it made me think about the application of forgiveness and self-compassion to the judgment card, because there seems, now that we're talking about it, there seems to be a lot of that inherent in this card. This idea that we are just kind of loosening up any sort of limitations or restrictions that we have on ourselves in this card and really allowing ourselves to just be and not be so harsh or critical and allow ourselves to just have an imperfect, often uncomfortable human experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I took people right out of the imagery for the Shadowland Tarot. It is an owl flying through the air and, you know, sort of saying that we should take an overview of the bigger picture here rather than maybe being hypercritical about individual things. Let's just use our discretion and do a little flyover and celebrate the wisdom of the owl, which came from Athena, the Greek goddess, and also Minerva as a goddess of wisdom, justice, and law. And I think because owls can also see in the dark too, they are known as incredibly wise. In that drawing, there the owl is wearing a pair of red boots. Little red booties. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, because people often ask me, why does this owl have little red booties on? And I think it's getting back to what we were talking about earlier about individualism and celebrating our own individualism and that of others, that we all have our autonomy when it comes to using our judgment and discretion. And in the latest deck, again, There are two hands and there is a third eye, but it's about awareness and it is about awakening and just realizations and really contemplation. Mm. So, you know, I'm taking it out of the context of a specific action with people or interaction, right. But I think if people use the standard Rider-Waite-Smith deck and they use my deck, I'm hoping that the balance, or use my decks now that I have a few, I'm hoping the balance between the imagery also makes or encourages people to look at judgment differently and from different angles.
Absolutely. I think it's hard. It would be hard not to, especially with that the imagery of the latest card for the awakening. This eye kind of like in the center and these hands, it feels almost exciting to be able to say, oh, what am I going to find? What am I going to discover? What will be known to me? Or what will I know about myself? Whether it's something exciting or a shadow component, I feel like that's really what that the imagery on that card at least brings up for me. I'm curious, what about you when you were creating this card? What was coming up for you as you sat with that? How were you experiencing it?
As an opening and acceptance of that awareness, mm-hmm. which is how I look at awakening. And I think seeing the environment and the energy that resides within us and that surrounds us. So I think more looking at it as that energy. And I really felt that this kind of symbolism of seeing and having hands accepting was important, that acceptance, because a lot of people, I think, can use their discretion. They're just frightened to. So I wanted to, again, it comes back down to the fear perhaps of being incorrect.
Right.
But to open and accept that you do have good intuition, you have traveled a longer way than you think sometimes, and you have arrived each day on your journey and you start again the next day. So I think the openness of the hands and the metaphysical aspect was what I was thinking about as a true awakening, seeing way beyond the surface of things and just being very philosophical about it rather than just a practical application of I've exercised good judgment today.
Right.
So yeah, that to me was anticipation, as you mentioned, perhaps an excitement of this radiating knowledge of what you can do with it, how you can use that, what's next. And I think that's what I was feeling, because I know I've gone through several awakenings myself, and that's certainly how I felt. And I was, which I often do with my imagery, is it is personal, but I'm also using universal archetypes and imagery so that we can hopefully, to a certain extent, all relate to the imagery.
Yeah, I think the way that you just described your experience was beautiful. And then the image that you've created, I'm thinking about it, and I was looking down at the traditional imagery, and then I was like, how would I use these maybe with clients or personally? I feel like I would use them side by side, the traditional card with the new awakening card, because and you had said something earlier that made my brain go here, this idea of like being perceived, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, fear of making mistakes, that is within the judgment card and how people are maybe going to judge us. And then to have that next to your awakening card, though, your awakening card almost like feels like I'm being held because of the hands. And so if I were working with a client and we were working on, okay, what are you afraid of being perceived about? How do you fear people are going to perceive you? How do you fear you're going to be judged? We would explore that. And then to have your card next to it, bringing this entirely different energy into the session, I feel like would ask questions along the lines of, okay, what's something that might come from being perceived? What is something that you might discover, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral? And I feel like in the traditional imagery, I wouldn't have gotten those questions. But seeing your new imagery, those questions come to mind. Now it's almost like, okay, here's the thing that happened to you, traditional imagery. Now what becomes of it with your imagery?
Oh, yeah, that's a very nice pairing. And to put it sequentially in that way, that's a very nice idea, I think. And I hope if you do that in your practice, you let me know how
Absolutely.
It works. I'd be very curious. Often as artists, we kind of create in a bit of a vacuum. And while I do try to introduce my deck and many live events just so I can see people's faces and
yeah.
meet people and get out, it would be really nice to hear about applications and yeah. how the cards are being used. So that would be wonderful.
Well, I will absolutely reach out if and when it happens. And speaking of live events, can you tell us like what else do you have going on? You have some exciting stuff coming up. Tell us about your deck. And you have a class that you're teaching. Is it at the end of this month?
I teach so many of my own classes, but I'm going to be in Elora, Ontario in May for a weekend, and I'm going to be talking about the elements and the five elements of witchcraft. And that is also the Awakening Tarot is very much focusing on the elements of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. And it is how we can become those elements. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm also going to be at Reader's Studio in New York at the end of April, which I'm really looking forward to. I'll be sharing the Awakening Tarot there and a bit of the process, as well as have my own table. And I'm doing the Oddities and Curiosities show, which I absolutely adore.
Yay.
It is coming to Toronto, so I will be doing that in June. And then I am sharing the tarot with my residents. I have a yearly residency for art and spirituality. And because the deck has come out this year, I'm going to be supplying each of the participants who come to this week-long residency on Toronto Island with their own Awakening Tarot deck. And we're going to work through some of the elements. It was that residency, in fact, that inspired the creation of this deck. Because my syllabus is always broken down into the elements of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, and how we can become one with the environment, learn more about ourselves, and how this affects our creativity. So those are some of the things I've got coming up. There's a few other things in between. No doubt there will be a few book signings here and there and deck signings, and that pretty much takes me up until fall.
Wow. Your students are so incredibly lucky to have you. Just hearing you talk and seeing your work, I'm like, I wish I was an art student so I could be your student. So they're really lucky to have you. Can you also tell listeners where they can find you on social media?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I bet you'd be a great student, Shannon.
Oh,
and even in the residency, consider it if you're a writer. I have dancers, singers, writers, all forms of creativity. So you never know. Maybe you want to come up some summer. People can find me if they want more information on that and upcoming events or any of the products at monicabodierski.com. As long as you get the name Bodierski correct, you'll find me. Mm-hmm. And Google will probably correct you. Anyway. And
hopefully.
Hopefully. And on Instagram, it is Monica Bodierski.
Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. For more tarot and mental health content, follow The Tarot Diagnosis on Instagram. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode and sign up to receive The Tarot Diagnosis emails where you'll have access to exclusive spreads and exciting announcements. To join an incredible community of tarot and psychology enthusiasts, join the Tarot Diagnosis membership community, the Symposium, by visiting thetarotdiagnosis.com.